Joining us on the Warrior Injury Law studio line is House Republican Budget Leader, Representative Travis Couture. And, buddy, I'm looking at this disaster. And did you guys ever think it was going to be this bad? I mean, I assumed he was going to do his $4 billion in cuts, and we would have made fun of that, but say, okay, at least it's something. $25 million, that's all he did?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much a joke. I mean, in Olympia, we call $25 million and an almost $80 billion budget dust. I mean, it's just not the amount of money that we needed to actually cut from the budget, or we were hoping Governor Ferguson would cut from the budget. And I mean, at the end of the day, it was a bunch of meaningless vetoes just to say that he cut something. But none of the real work was done. He kind of violated all of his own budget principles. At one point, he even said $12 billion in taxes is too much. Well, $10 billion operating budget plus over $3 billion transportation budget taxes. Well, that's over $12 billion. So I just don't understand. The governor is pretty rudderless right now, but he caved. He caved to hit the radicals in his party who wanted to tax us to death. And instead of cutting the waste, fraud, and abuse in our budget, what we got is an 8% spending increase. So whatever they cut, they increased the budget way more with the new reckless spending spree. And we were hoping for a little bit more as far as vetoes. But I mean, honestly, I kind of abandoned that hope a while back because it just seemed like as the session wore on, Governor Ferguson was caving to the radicals in his party constantly.
So you weren't one of the ones who was praising him ever, but there were some people in the Republican Party who are going, hey, we're going to ride this train as long as we can. Do you think that at any point he was being sincere and he just got hit by the reality of the far, far left? Or do you think it was all a scam this entire time just to try and placate Republicans, get a few good sound bites out of them so he could say how bipartisan he is when he runs for higher office or reelection?
Well, we'll never really know for sure, but my gut is that he actually did want to drive his party a little bit closer to the center because they are falling off of left field right now. And I mean, you just saw today. I mean, this was a terrible day for Washington, not just all the taxes, the largest tax increases in state history, but a reckless spending spree budget. It doesn't fix any of the structural problems that led us to the place that we're at with the budget. But then also, you know, a tax on our Second Amendment rights with a permit to purchase bill, and also a tax on parental rights in schools and children with House Bill 1296 that guts the people's initiative. And so, I mean, it's just a long story of him caving in not just policy ways with striking workers and rent control and everything else, but also with the budget as well. And I think that, you know, if I'm playing a little inside baseball, there was a point during the session where his, you know, chief of staff or whatever he was called, Mike Webb, left. And as soon as that guy left, the train started to come off the rails. And it just seems like all of the fiscal responsibility that Bob Ferguson was trying to push during the legislative session, he just caved on all of it at the last possible second. It was all for show. It was all smoke and mirrors. Even the $100 million for police, Ari, we won't even be able to really hire one single cop with that $100 million because it doesn't actually have to go to police. And in order to even get the money, you have to raise your own regressive sales taxes in your local community. And so it's nuts.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Now, something you just said triggered a question in my mind, which is, so he's going to say, and the Democrats are going to say in the next budget cycle, well, you got hit with all these taxes. They're so regressive. What if we just did a state income tax and you guys voted for it so we could do the state income tax and get rid of those regressive taxes? Don't you think that's next on the horizon?
I mean, the Democrat Party has always been pushing for an income tax, what, over a dozen times, and it keeps getting defeated because it's purely unconstitutional. And even if it wasn't unconstitutional and they could try to ram it through, it's a very deeply unpopular idea with the citizens of Washington state. I mean, they've rejected this multiple times. And so, I mean, there's a couple challenges with that. But I think that, you know, at the end of the day, they just want to be able to fund their grifting NGOs, their nonprofits who provide little to nothing for homelessness, for housing, for drug addiction. I mean, we have a crisis on our streets And we are one of the most unaffordable states in the entire nation. I mean, the governor even literally vetoed a housing cost driver bill after talking a big talk during the beginning of session that we need to figure out the cost of housing and we need to, you know, make it cheaper and permitting faster. Well, he literally vetoed bills to help do that and saved almost nothing money wise as a result of it. And so, I mean, he just, you could see it already. He's starting to kowtow and starting to toe the line of the radicals in his party. And so some people like to say that there's a difference between moderate Democrats and radical Democrats. And yeah, maybe when you talk to them one-on-one, there's a difference. But at the end of the day, there is no difference. They all vote for the Speaker of the House, Lori Jenkins, and she controls the agenda and she controls the bills that pass. And ultimately, they control what Bob Ferguson is going to do, too. He's got to survive within his own party. And unfortunately, the makeup of the Democratic Party is one that wants to mutilate children and take away your right to defend yourself and make sure that if you go on strike, you get paid to go on strike and not work. And they want to cap your rents and make sure your rents go up every single year. And they want to tax you into oblivion, literally taxing the joy out of living in Washington State. I mean, this budget and all the policies that go along with it are going absolutely in the wrong direction. I mean, we literally robbed single moms on the edge of poverty from their child support payments in order to give more money to illegal immigrant legal services and health care. I mean, that's just nuts. I mean, I don't know about you, but in my district, the 35th district, nobody wants that. And so I don't know who the governor is listening to, but it's definitely not the people of Washington, especially as he's overturning the people's initiatives.
Yeah. And here's something else. The media is playing along. So this is a tweet from Drew Mickelson over at King 5. He wrote this: "We have a budget. Governor Bob Ferguson just signed the 2025-27 budget, raising taxes on businesses, top investment earners, while making cuts to state services. Governor also approved the transportation budget, raising gas 6 cents a gallon in July. No mention of the largest tax increase in Washington history. I think that if we had a real media, they would be calling out this stuff. But unfortunately, we've got people who are just worried about access for interviews to the governor's office or the speaker's office, so they don't call it like they see it."
Well, exactly. The media is absolutely not covering this. I mean, from day one, they were saying, oh, it's $12 billion, it's $15 billion, it's a $20 billion deficit. All along, it was a $7.5 billion deficit. And it was just helping the Democrats, you know, try to sell the fact that they need more taxes to keep us afloat. And then they were saying, oh, this is all the fault of Donald Trump and tariffs. Well, you know who else is under any kind of tariff? Idaho, Montana. You know what? They're actually delivering record tax relief to their citizens under the same federal framework that we are. We just need to stop violating federal law and stop ruining the civil rights of young girls in our schools and in their sports. And at the end of the day, they keep just driving forward. They're so angry, Ari. They're so angry that he's the president and has nothing literally to do with our state, our blue state on the West Coast. And they went and taxed Elon Musk because of Doge, the Tesla tax. So actually even making it harder to buy an electric car, which, you know, you would think is their Shangri-La. But at the end of the day, they're just so angry and upset at Donald Trump. They're willing to tax us into oblivion and use the people of the state of Washington as a bailout fund for their budget negligence. And it wouldn't have mattered if it was Donald Trump or Kamala Harris as president. We'd still be in this budget situation. We would still have these taxes. It really doesn't matter. And they want to talk about a constitutional crisis. Well, I could point to like three bills just today that are a constitutional crisis. And that was made by the Democrats here in Washington State. And at the end of the day, you have a budget that is so reckless and is going to steal and rob over $13 billion from our economy. That is what is creating uncertainty economically in our state. It has nothing to do with the president of the United States, who's over 3,000 miles away.
In the last few minutes, we have with Representative Travis Couture about Bob Ferguson signing the largest tax increase in Washington state history, over $9 billion in more taxes. That's going to translate to somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 a year in extra taxes for a family of four. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Bob Ferguson today also gutting the parental bill of rights that we had beforehand. And Democrats Democrats talk about how Republicans are a threat to democracy. 454,000 people sign the initiatives to get that in front of the legislature. They pass it in the legislature, pretend to be all bipartisan, then gut it, knowing we can't do anything about it. He signs into law. That's subverting democracy. That's exactly what they did. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's dirty. And all along the process, they said, oh, no, 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 we're just amending the Parents' Bill of Rights. They didn't amend it, Ari. They assassinated it. OK, I mean, they literally would not accept anything that allows parents access to school and medical records. We couldn't protect girls and girls' sports. We couldn't protect little girls in their locker rooms or their bathrooms. I mean, it took me a month of fighting and plus 3 weeks of national coverage just to get them to agree that we should immediately notify parents if a child is raped by their school teacher immediately and not 48, 72 hours later, whatever it was. And finally, they caved to that. But you know what? We had amendments to that bill that said, hey, you can't have pornography in schools. They denied that. Who is literally standing around saying we need pornography in elementary schools? It's absolutely nuts. And we see shocking disenrollment numbers and shocking academic outcomes, the worst in three decades in our schools, and we are spending three times that of inflation in our K-12 system, but yet many of our school districts look broke on the ground level because the money is going straight into the coffers of the WEA. We have some of the highest paid teachers in the nation, and the money is not leading to the classroom to help kids learn. And you know what, Ari? At the end of the day, what people want is they send their kids to school. They want them to learn how to do math, want to learn how to read and do science, and to be safe from sexual predators in their schools. And in order to do that, you have to build trust with your community. That's why we have failing levies and bonds. So this is absolutely like probably the death blow, unless there's an initiative on the ballot that people can reject it outright. And there's nothing the legislature can do about that. But as you've seen before, you know, the courts have other ideas. However, the Parents' Bill of Rights that was passed was upheld by a court as totally sound. Even though the OSPI, Chris Reichtal, did not want to implement it. And so at the end of the day, this is a very terrible thing for schools and for parents and families and for students in our state. And more people are going to disenroll their kids and look for alternative options.
And then they're just going to come to us and ask us for more money. Representative Travis Couture, I hate to laugh at that because I know it's going to happen. Representative Travis Couture, thank you so much for fighting so hard on behalf of all of us. And thank you so much for joining us on such short notice today. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Ari. Appreciate you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, my friend.